one front in the Malacha that I just don't want to focus on. We finished Loreh and Kotzer
and Chodesh, but one thing that the poskim we spoke about last time spoke about sweeping and an area where you have gravel, because we're worried about you leveling the ground. So a lot of poskim are against games on the field, like soccer games, those type of things on the field, on the grass, that would be potentially underneath Chorish, but we'll talk about that another time. I want to start a bland in Malacha. What's the next Malacha that we have to discuss, everybody say? Okay. What? Someone just said it. Kotzer. Good. What is Kotzer? So the initial response to what is Kotzer, I would say, is the reverse of what? Is the reverse of Zoreya. But there's kama v'kama proofs. There's a lot of proofs that although a lot of times there is overlap between Zoreya and Kotzer, and just like Zoreya is creating vegetation, creating life, Kotzer is not the mirror opposite of the detachment of a Zoreya. Classically, it will be like that. You have a plant, you have a fruit, you have something that's connected to its life source, and you detach it. So basically, majority of the times, I would say, that is the opposite of Zoreya. Zoreya means you're giving it life. Zoreya means you're planting it. Zoreya means you're allowing vegetation to happen. Hi.
I'm sorry. Feel comfortable? Good?
Oh,
too hot? Too cold?
No, no, no. Great. Thank you very much, sir. Sure. Zoreya means, that was odd. Zoreya means, Baruch Hashem. All right, we're moving up. Zoreya means, Zoreya means you're giving life to something, and this is detaching it and disconnecting it. However, Rabbi Osai, you do find amongst the Rishonim some fascinating examples of Kotzer, which sheds the light and gives you the impression that it's not just the opposite of Zoreya. For instance, let's say I drop a seed and it didn't have enough time to cause vegetation and growth and really get implanted into the ground that is connected. As we pointed out, in the Malach of Zoreya, for you to be chayiv for Zoreya, you need something that we paskin la halacha, that even if it didn't have the full hashrasha, that's going to be something that's going to be chayiv for Zoreya. However, if it didn't have hashrasha, if it didn't take root, for me to take it out, that's not kotzer. So just because it would be Zoreya doesn't necessarily mean the reverse would be kotzer. Another example where kotzer is not the opposite of Zoreya. Rabosai, there are Rishonim that say, the Gemara says in Shabbos that delivering an animal from its mother the Gemara doesn't say why you're chayiv. When you're taking an uber b'me'imo of an animal to take it out of its mother. So some of the Rishonim say, what do you mean? That's the classic malach of kotzer. Kotzer, what harvesting? What are you doing? No, the answer is you're taking something that's connected to its life source and you're detaching it from its life source. It right now is living off its mother and you're detaching it, so that's an example of a malach of kotzer. Another example, Yerushalmi, Taisus quotes in Shabbos and Daf Ayin Hey. Yerushalmi says, although everyone would classically put this under another category of malacha, which is correct, but the Yerushalmi says, to take fish, to be shola dagman ayam, not only in an area where it's hunt, it would be obviously the malacha of tzad, because that's hunting on Shabbos, but the Yerushalmi says, to take it out of a water source, to take it into dry land, let's say it's already hunted, that's also the malacha of kotzer. Why? Because a fish can only live what? In water. Kotzer is detaching something, a living entity, from its life source. Another example. Yeah, I keep.
What if it's for the benefit of the being itself? Meaning, in the case of mother giving birth, it's for the benefit of both the mother and the baby calf, whatever.
Right. So we don't usually allow malacha d'oraisas for the necessity of an animal for the benefit of an animal. That gets into a really overarching question. Where's Mickey? A really overarching question of Tzar Bala Chaim. Tzar Bala Chaim usually, at most, could allow Darabonans, but we don't usually allow Melachas Daraisas. Unfortunately, we also don't allow for Pikuach Nefesh of the animal for you to be Mechal Shabbos.
What about if you're picking a fruit, meaning if you don't pick the fruit, then it's going to go bad?
Well, that's...
You know, you're taking it from its life source. It's no longer...
I have to lose the fruit. Just like I can't go to work even if I'm going to lose my job. I can lose my whole field. That's Shabbos. Shabbos, you have to be willing to give up everything. Shabbos, you have to be willing to give up everything. 100%. So Rabosa, that's Kotzer. So Kotzer is not the opposite. And also in areas where it's not necessarily connected to the ground, Rabosa. It's not necessarily rooted in the ground. It's not necessarily planted in the ground. Let's say an algae, a fungus, a mushroom. So the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, for us to remove a fungus, a mushroom, from its source, Rabbi Isai, would be a malacha of what? Of kotzer. So you see, it's not just about detaching from the ground. Here. The top, Kuf Zayin Mebe is going on to Kuf Chasam Adalaf. Amar Abayi. Hai man de talosh pitra mi oino de chitzva mechayev mishum oker dover mi gidulo. Oker dover mi gidulo means to be oker dover from its gidul, even though it's not necessarily attached. What's the proof that a pitria is not necessarily growing from the ground? What's the proof of Bosai? How do you know that mushrooms are not classic vegetables? Give me a raya.
The
shahakal. Because you say shahakal neyavidvara on a mushroom. You don't say bora priyadama. So you see it's not growing from the ground. Yet the Gemara is still saying okra davar migidula. That's also kotzer. The big Shiloh, we spoke about this Shiloh. Based on this Gemara, whether or not you plant something into a potted, a non-potted plant, would you be chayim mishum zorei on Shabbos? Yeah. Since that's its life source, so then you're detaching it from its life source. So that's important, Rabbos. Let's plug it into klalim that we learned about beforehand, where it will mimic the malacha of Zoreya. We just said that Zoreya and Kotzer are not necessarily opposites, but a lot of times you will have a lot of overlap between the two. We're just pointing out, fundamentally they're different. We have examples of where they're different, but a lot of times there will be overlap. If a lot of times there will be overlap, classic Kotzer will be what? To walk up to grass and rip it out of the ground, to walk up to flowers and rip them out of the ground, to walk up to a tree and take off a leaf, to walk up to an apple and pluck it off the tree, berries, whatever it is, all of those are examples of what? Classic kotzer. Now, we got a little fancy in the world of Zoreya, Rabosai. How did we get a little fancy in the world of Zoreya? We presented in the world of Zoreya that a person could be obligated for planting even though he's not actually planting it into the ground itself. How can you be chayiv for planting even though you're not planting in the ground itself, Rabosai? A potted plant. Does that potted plant have to have a hole or not have a hole? So if you're chayiv, if you want to be chayiv minat Torah for Zoreya, it has to have a hole, unless, which is what Asher's talking about, it's the classic plants, which is pottery or wood, because we have a suffix, which one gets nutrients even without a hole. Machlokas Rishonim, if it's 2 days in Taisis, if it's pottery or eights, and Shulchan Aruch says you should be machmir for both. So any one of those examples, whether it has a hole if it's plastic, or if it's pottery or wood, so all of those are chayav midaraisa to put it on top of the ground, to take it from the table, and put it on top of the ground where it sucks out its nutrients. Attracts those nutrients. What about picking up the pot? That's exactly what we're getting to. So if a person now has a pot that's over the ground in the yard, and now you're going to put it on top of your patio table and put it on top of the concrete or on top of the table, Rabosai, that would be what? Kotzer menat Torah. Even though you didn't cut anything, even though there are no scissors, even though I didn't detach anything, I took something from a life source and I moved it into, now it's a situation where it can't, extract those nutrients. That would be kotzer min haTorah. And if it's plastic, and I would remove it into another, into an area where it's not, where it's not, where it's not getting the same, where it, yeah.
Is that its only life source? Is the pot on the ground, is the ground its only life source, or just one of the...
I don't care about its only life source. I care about any life source. If it's extracting nutrients from that area, that's kosher. Let's say I take away one apple, or, you know, I remove some of its life source. That's also kosher. Kotzer could be chayiv even if you detach some of its nutrients and some of its growth. That would be something that's chayiv on Shabbos. Midrabbanan, that also applies to a situation as follows. Let's say where's this Gemara? Hold on 1 second. Let's say I would have an otzitz she'eino nakur. I would have a potted plant that doesn't have a hole. Okay? So what's the halacha when it comes to zoreya?
What kind of pot?
A plastic pot. What? Midoraisa, there's no issue, right? Midorabbanan, there's still an issue. Right? Midorabbanan, there's still an issue. So Midorabbanan, there would be an issue also when it comes to kotzer as well. Okay, Rabosei, that's just in a nutshell most of the examples of kotzer. Now, what we have to focus on, Rabosei, which will be practically, I'm going to get to you in a second, practically a lot of what the focus on when it comes to the malacha of kotzer is the rabbinic additions to this malacha and its ramifications based on their concerns of what might lead potentially to the malacha of kotzer. But we need to have the framework of understanding basically what it is, and therefore limiting ourselves and Chazal now creating midrabbanan isurim on Shabbos to now make sure that you don't get to those situations of taking off a branch, of taking off a fruit, of taking off any of those things. Now, something I left out is, Rabosei, that this applies to grass as well. One of the practical implications of kotzer is grass. Now, do we assume la'alacha that now a person can't walk in the grass because he might be violating the lacha of kotzer? The answer to that question is no. A person is allowed to walk on the grass. Why is a person allowed to walk on grass?
Well, because it's, you don't know for sure that you're going to...
So what is that called, la'alacha?
It's not a
psikresha. So what is it called? It's davar shenu miskaven. Davar shenu miskaven, without a psikresha, we pass on like Rabbi Shimon over Rabbi Yehuda. Davar shenu miskaven is mutter. Okay? As long as it's not inevitable. However, the poskim suggest, if you're in a situation where the grass is long, or if you're in a situation where the items beneath are very brittle, and you think that it actually is an inevitability that at one point in time something might get concerned, because something might get detached, so then stay away from that type of grass. So in certain fields, in certain areas where the lawn hasn't been mowed for a long time, there might be reason to restrict oneself from walking on those areas because it's a psikresha of kotzer. Yeah, Max?
In regards to like a fallen branch that still has apples on it, the branch is all is not like it's not the apple.
It would not be kotzer for you to take off an apple from a fallen branch because it's not living off that item. Right. Good. However, there might be another reason. I said it will not be kotzer.
Right.
It will not be kotzer. But we have to get to a few of the derabbanans to understand what's permitted, and ultimately it's not going to be permitted for another reason, unless it fell before Shabbos. Yeah?
Like playing soccer on Shabbos on grass, you know that you're going to rip something.
If you know you're going to rip something, that's a problem. Playing soccer on grass for Shabbos, it might be a problem of Choresh also, we just said. So it's not only Kotzer, but anytime you know you're going to rip something, that's going to be a malacha of Choresh. Of Kotzer also.
it's not
kosher. No, deraisa. The detached grass is deraisa.
It's not kosher, but walking on Shabbos, especially in the fall, when there are all the leaves on the floor, and you're going to be stepping on them, they're going to crack. Dead.
Okay, so the leaves I want to get to.
Dead already.
There's no issue of kosher, like you pointed out. If a person's not intending to move and a person's just walking normally, so potentially a person could, the biggest concern I could understand is a person now moving mukta, because that doesn't have any ishtamshes on Shabbos and that's a problem. I don't think you're moving it. You're just walking normally through the way and you're
and maybe cracks and tons like
no, so you're allowed to walk normally on the road. You're not intending to do total mukta. So there is a halacha, a very important halacha to know. When we learn mukta, we have to focus on this, but there is a debate between the Chazanish and the Mishnah Brura. If a person has mukta, so it's a good etza to know whenever you're stuck or both sides. Pay attention to this. If a person has mukta and he's stuck with mukta and he can't pick up mukta, and a lot of times we have situations of mukta and people are nechshol in this, they don't know what's mukta, what's not. So now you have this mukta here, right? So I can't just pick this up and move it away, right? But the Mishnah Brura says I can go like this. Like this. Like that. Exactly. So that's called tilto bagufo. So Mishnah Brura has a raya from the Gemara. The Gemara says there was stuff in the way and he was metalto bagufo, and therefore that's mutter. So the Chazanish disagrees. Chazanish thinks that there is no heter of tilto bagufo. There is no such blanket heter that a person could just be metalto with his indirect. This is not the same as kalach or yad, as doing something b'shinu. This is specifically when it comes to the issue of being metalto mukta. So Mishnah Brura says it meant that you can't move mukta in a normal way. But if you do it with your body or you do it some indirect way, that wasn't included in tilto mukta. The Chazanish said he misunderstood the whole Gemara. That's not what the Gemara meant. The Gemara meant that if it's on the path, and then a person just walks normally, and ultimately the leaves or the branches move to the side because you're walking Kedarko, so that's all the Gemara meant. But there is no blanket heter, said the Chazanish now, that any time there's something in a place that I don't want it to be, even if it's not blocking my way, then now I can just be metaltal with my yadayim or with my raglayim. That's not true. With my raglayim and not my yadayim, that's not true. But even the Chazanish, in your case, the leaves, would agree that that's the case of the Gemara, where it's in your way and you're just walking normally and it's moving to the side by you doing that. Yeah.
I don't remember what Mishnah this is, but I think it's the first Mishnah in Beitza.
Beitza Shnol de Biyontif.
Right. So if the life source, if it changes,
I'm not taking Shabbos, again, the Beitza was nolad on Yontif.
Right, so I'm saying they said
so
that
it was
can't
born.
Change the status on Shabbos from before Shabbos, right?
It can't change the status.
So if something was
if Bein Hashmashos it was Mukta, so then it's always Mukta, correct? Nigo Diskatzai Bein Hashmashos, it never changes its status.
So can you say that for the life source also? If the life source changes on Shabbos, if it was a life source.
So it's a good question, but the Gemara speaks about the fact that, let's say, if there's an expectant change to that item, and that you know about already, Bein Hashmashos, that's going to happen, so that's something that will be
mutter. Like if lightning strikes and hits a tree on Shabbos, you didn't expect that to happen, right?
So then you're right, that would be a problem, right? Yeah.
I didn't understand. What was the difference between what you just did and Davar Bishinoi? That way you try to just think Bishinoi and mislead.
Davar Bishinoi means, in terms of Malachos, that's still going to be Asur Midrabbanan. For me to do something indirectly, turn on the light like this, that's Asur Midrabbanan. The Mishnah Brura held that when it came to Muktzah, which in itself is only Midrabbanan, to be metalto with your hands, then you could pick up Muktzah in a Shinoi type way, which is called Tilto Bagufa. Okay? So, Rabbi, so let's bring it back to Kotzer. Those were a few different tangents that I want to get back to Kotzer, okay? Came along Chazal, and they said, we really are concerned for people to be involved with Kotzer. Now, you have to realize that this was also in the time where there wasn't transportation in cars and subways and trains, and most of the transportation was on what?
Cows.
Was on cows, was on animals, right? Therefore came along Chazal and they said that it's usur for you to be mishtamish with a bal chai and for you to ride on an animal on Shabbos. You are not allowed to ride on an animal on Shabbos.
Is this kotzer?
Why is this kotzer? Says the Gemara in Beitza on Daf Lamed Vav, Yeah,
right. Because
you're going to break down a branch. Why would I break down a branch right in? To whip the animal, exactly, to get it to move faster. That's what they used to do. They used to just grab the branch and they used to hit it. So came along Chazal and they made a blanket gzera, ein rochvin al gabei behema on Shabbos or Yontif, because you're maybe going to take off a branch. Comes Rav Yitzchak Shmelkish, the Beis Yitzchak, and says something fascinating. What if I can present a scenario? What if I could create an argument that a person, for whatever reason, he has a heter, whatever, he has a tzorech, he has to get some of the tzorech mitzvah, and I can make it that it's only a few derabbanans, that I can make a solid argument that this should be mutter for this person to ride on a subway on Shabbos. He's not going to pay the token, it'll be paid for him, and now I, Amir La'akam, he's telling someone to do a malach for him, I have a way around that to create it that it's going to be mutter for the situation of Amir La'akam. Would that be mutter? Comes along the Beis Yitzchak and he says it's included in this gzera of Ein Rochin Al Gabei Behema. They not only prohibited rechiva on an animal, they prohibited every type of rechiva, any type of transportation, unless obviously pikuach nefesh, you have to go to the hospital, whatever it is, that was included in the gzera. So even if you can paint up a situation that you think that it should be mutter through the Amira La'akum difficulties and limitations, still, it would be included in the zera of Ein Rochman Al Gabei Behema. But for that reason, Rabosai, you cannot go on top of an animal. You cannot go on top of an animal whatsoever. That's what they ossered for in terms of animals. Now, I'm not talking about it right now. I was going to give Mickey a present and talk, because you'll find out why I'm talking to this specifically of Mickey, about how this extends to dealing with pets in general. If the island would like me to get into that, we can. But I'd like to first finish Kotzer, and then we can move on to the issue with pets in general. Not a simple question. Yeah.
If there was a rav in Brooklyn that gave a heter for Jews to ride on the subway on Shabbos to get to shul if they live very, very far away.
Is there what?
I don't know. I remember the difference, but
I'm sure there was. The Beis Yitzchak probably was responding to that.
I understand, because in the case of what we just discussed, the riding animal, clearly the reason that they made it usher is because of the branch. So how can they use something that's completely not correlated? They didn't say, traveling is the issue. They're talking about the branch. So if that's the issue, how can they transport it to something that has nothing to do with it? There's no branches in the subway. I'm not saying on drugs.
So that's classic. That's exactly what I was trying to bring out. Chazal, when they assert something, they made low plug. They made it that it doesn't matter whether or not the concern is there or isn't there. They assert something across the board, and they assert rechiva, every type of rechiva. Rav Yitzchak Shmelkish extended it to even non-animals, but even Chazal, even if you didn't take it as far as Rav Yitzchak Shmelkish, the Beis Yitzchak, but even Chazal, even where there were no branches or where there were no trees, like, you know, you're in Palm Springs or whatever, you're in certain areas that you don't have the same branches on top of the animals or the trees are very hard, still, low plug, they unequivocally extended the gzera. Yeah.
Yeah, is there anything to do with the animal eating grass on, if you're, like, isn't that code there? Aren't you responsible for your animals?
I'm allowed to allow my animal to eat freely. Adarabo, there's an isser for me to limit my animal. He also has a menucha on Shabbos, so as long as if he wants to graze around in my backyard and eat my stuff, he's allowed to do that on Shabbos. As long as I'm not actively pushing him to do a malacha, I can't cause an animal to do malacha. That would be a violation of mechamer/shvisas behemto to cause him to do malacha on Shabbos. But if I'm not causing him and he's just doing it on his own, that would not be a problem. I have to live. Okay, they have a shvisa on Shabbos as well. Gets me another shaila I got. There was a shaila in the shul. Someone asked me, they trained the dog to turn off the lights on Shabbos. So it got into a real shaila alach l'maisa of mechamer, of causing an animal to do malacha on Shabbos, which would be this issue. And l'maisa was usher. I told him it was mechamer, meaning usually mechamer in the times of the Gemara you had, you know, putting packages on them and causing them to do hotzah or causing them to do harisha and causing them to do, I'm conducting the animal to do a malacha. Over here, I train the animal to hit the lights, you know, so it's not a mir la'akum because it's an animal, but it might be a d'oraisa of mechamer.
That's what we say in Kiddush, Lamanya Nuach, that everyone should be rested, not only Ato Vincha, Behemtucha, the Gercha Shevet Karecha. That's Shvisis Behemta. Okay, what were we talking about? Oh, so that's in terms of the animals. Let's get back to pets. I don't want to talk about pets yet, because I'm... the reason I'm focusing on Mickey is because Mickey had a Shiloh Erev Shabbos. About you have pets. I'm sure a lot of people have pets. We can talk about pets.
Cats.
Right. So we'll talk about that. Fine. Rabbi Isai, included in this issue is not only Midrabanan. They now were the rabbis prohibited riding on any behemoths because of the potential ktsira that would happen to it. Included in this is also being mishtamish be'ilon. Being mishtamish be'ilon, what does that literally mean to be mishtamish be'ilon? A person can't mishtamish, use a tree. A person can't use a tree. Not only can you not pluck, but you now can't use the tree. You can't move the tree. If you're going to rest yourself on the tree in a way that it's going to move, that is absolutely prohibited. But came along Chazal and said, even if the tree doesn't itself move, you can't be ola ala ilan. Something we're going to learn in Meretz Hashem next year. The Gemara talks about Machlekes Reb Meir Reb Yehuda. What happens if your sukkah is on top of a tree? Do you have the ability to transgress an Issa D'Rabbanan to go up on the tree to get to the sukkah? Do you say that the mitzvah sukkah D'Oraisa overrides it or not? Is that considered a sukkah or is that not considered a sukkah? Sometimes I'm held. No, that's not considered a sukkah. Even though it's only D'Rabbanan that I can't go on the tree. I am not allowed to go on a tree. Ad kedei kach, Max, let me finish. Ad kedei kach. That if you go intentionally onto a tree, Rabbi Isai, Chazal tell you, who knows? Can't go down. There's a knas midrabanan. You're not allowed to come down from the tree. That's how serious the Chazal took this. Rabbi Isai, Akiva Belazan, is playing in the backyard one Shabbos, and we told him not to climb the tree, and he climbed up the tree. And I told him, Akiva, you're stuck for the rest of Shabbos. Now.
It was Friday night.
It was a Shabbos afternoon. Now he got very scared and he started crying. And I was obviously makel because just like Chazal are makel b'shoigim, b'melkem tzarech, b'chol ha'shem b'sakana, and for kavod abrius, there are certain leniencies to this halacha. But if a person goes up and mazes, that's something that's very important. You're not allowed to be mishtamish b'ilin, you're not allowed to come down. That's how, as humorous as it sounds, or bozai, it's a gemara. It's a din in Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to come down. But you're also not, more practically, you're also not allowed to use the tree. You can't hang your jacket on the tree. You can't hang your shirt on the tree. No, you're not using the tree if you sit under its shade. You're allowed to get hung off from a tree. You're allowed to get hung off from a tree. It's not hektish, but you're not allowed to use the tree. Using means to physically use it. So Rabbi Isai, what if you're hanging laundry onto a tree? Or what if you do more commonly, you take a rope, you wrap it around one branch, or one thick, extension of the tree, and then you extend it to another tree, and you have a laundry line connecting to the tree. Came along Chazal and said, that is also prohibited under Mishtamish B'ilan. Because right now, you're not technically being Mishtamish B'ilan, but you're being Mishtamish B'tzadei Ha'ilan. Rabbosai, get this right. Tzadim are also usher when it comes to trees. Not only the ilan itself, but the tzadei ha'ilan, the sides of the ilan, the extension of the ilan, which would be this rope, which would be this tree. That would be something that's prohibited. Rabbosai, more commonly, because most of us are not hanging our stuff on the laundry lines, although in Eretz Yisrael they are, is what? Tying a hammock, tying a swing to these branches of a tree. Take ropes and you tie it on the side. You are not allowed to get on that hammock. You are not allowed to get on that branch. That is something that's us. However, came along Chazal and they made the following limitation to this gzera. If it's bitzidei tzadim, it's not tzadim, but it's two steps removed. Bitzidei tzadim, then it would be mutter for you to use the tzidei tzadim. Not for you to use the tree, not for you to use the hook, but for you to use the what? The hammock. So what that means practically is, if first I put in a piece of metal or a hook or a nail, and then I extend the second piece, the hammock, or the swing,
That would be two steps removed. First was the nail. First was the hook. First was the metal. Then goes the hammock and the swing. Then I'm allowed to do it. Barring what, Rabosai? That I'm not moving the what?
Tree.
If the tree is moved, even it's tidit, you can't move a tree on Shabbos. That is practical, Rabosai, depending also how heavy you are. Technically, a person could move a tree, even if it's tidit stodim, if that's the way it is. This is something that people don't always realize. Hammocks are not simple. If it's tidit stodim and the tree is solidly enough that it doesn't move and budge based on your movement and your swinging back and forth, then that would be something that was mutter. Another shiloh that happened la'alacha to me, and this happens often, Rabbi Osai. It was a windy day. And my hat blew off on Shabbos. It happens a lot with talesim and scarves when it gets very windy. And it blew on top of the tree. And my boys wanted to get it. And I said, that's also usher in being mishtamish be'ilon. Even something that you didn't put intentionally, but that just blew up there, if it blew up on top of a tree, that's something that's prohibited and you're not allowed to get it. And you have to leave it there.
Even
with a stick, you can't bring it down. That's considered being mishtamish be'ilon. It's resting on the ilon. That's something that's mishtamish be'ilon. However, a few years later, the ball that they were using in the front yard fell onto the bushes in front. And Tzvi came to me and he asked me, can I get the ball? And I said, yes, you can. So Tzvi asked me, why? If I'm not allowed to get Abba's hat from the tree, so why am I allowed to get the little bush, the ball from the bush? What's the difference between balls and hats? So I said to Tzvi, excellent question. The difference is not between balls and hats. The difference is that it fell on a little bush. And the bush was very low to the ground. So that's not included in the gzeirah of being mishtamish be'ilon, because it's not an ilon. If it's within three tfachim of the ground, just like the Rabbeinu Shalom destroyed three tfachim of the ground in Parshas Noach, Max, so too, when something that's so close to the ground, it's so samach to the ground, like Rashi Shita in Hagbah, Gimel Tfachim, so that is not something that's considered an ilon, and then you would be allowed to take the item off. This comes up often, Rabbi Uzzah. But if it is higher up, it is raised up, so then it's a serious shaila if you are allowed to take it down. Yeah, Rabbi Uzzah, questions? Yeah.
It's not about a matter of how where the thing is on the tree, it's a matter of how tall the tree is, meaning if
yeah,
you have...
Yeah, right. Technically, something that's on a tree should be usher if it's a tree.
If it's lower than 2,000, it doesn't matter.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
In regards to Shiloh Haken, can you put...
Whoa. Shabbos. We'll talk about Shiloh Haken. Means Shiloh Haken, Shiloh? Yeah, let's talk about that. Uh-oh. No. No Shiloh Haken on Shabbos.
You can't do it?
No. Yeah.
What if in the case, like you said with the talit, it flies onto a tree and there's a police officer right there? So if you don't get it, you're going to get fined.
So there is a Rav Osner has a tshuva in Shevet Alevi to be mitzaref by a high tree. He's not makel by a smaller tree, even though it's higher than three tefachim. I think by a bush he had some kulas that he was mitzaref. But if it's mamish by a high tree and it's considered a full fledged tree, so I try to explain it to the officer. Or ask the officer. So is it Amir La'akum? So it's Amir La'akum. No, there's no chola here. It depends. If you need the talis right now, Latzarich Mitzvah. I don't know if that'd be Latzarich Mitzvah.
Well, no, but I mean, that's if you tell him to take it down, but if you just tell him I'm not. You
can tell him to the officer what the situation is.
You can tell him I'm not to take it down, and then he can do
right.
It. Or
call the fire department, ambulance.
It's not gonna happen.
You
just stuck on a tree. Yeah, stuck on a tree, you got fine, but you should be fine. That's what Chazal fined you. You shouldn't put a stuck on a tree. Okay. Raboisai.
think we'll stop here because Mickey's not here. He wanted to be here.